Thank you, Jonga Kandemiri. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Monday, August 3rd, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande. Here are our top stories this evening. Zimbabwean workers will on Saturday hit the streets in protest of continuing job losses as government companies join the fray of firms firing employees at will on 3 months' notice.
We are demonstrating against the employer, hoping that the government will intervene as we have indicated earlier. That the government actually has the role to play to make sure that they protect the interests of the weaker party, which is the employees.
U.S. President Barack Obama says his office will next year increase the number of the Mandela Washington Fellowship for young African leaders from 500 to 1,000, giving more African youths to learn about leadership and other issues in America.
In many of these streets,
some legal experts say it may take months, even years, for the United States to extradite Minnesota dentist Walter Palmer, who's accused of hunting and killing Zimbabwe's famous lion, Cecil. Zimbabwean workers under the Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions will on Saturday hit the streets in protest of continuing job losses as government companies and departments have joined the fray of firms firing employees following a recent Supreme Court ruling allowing companies to terminate contracts after giving workers a 3 months' notice. Secretary General Japheth Moyo says the ZCTU's General Council resolved to call the strike action on noticing the mounting job losses and government's slowness in trying to plug the situation by introducing amendments to the country's labor laws to protect workers. The demonstrations will be held in Harare, Bulawayo, Gweru, Chinoyi, and Mutare. Moyo tells reporter Jonga Kandemiri the police have already been informed about the strike, adding they don't anticipate any problems.
We have experienced massive job losses over the past week or so, and we continue to see a lot of our people being laid off, and the way the layoff is being conducted in our view is completely wrong. So we decided that we should indicate to the employers that they are not happy with that. We are demonstrating against the employer, hoping that the government will intervene, as we have indicated earlier, that the government still has the role to play to make sure that they protect the interests of the weaker party, which is the employees.
We understand that some government-owned companies have also started retrenching. Is this true? And if so, how do you view this as ZCTU?
Correct. Government companies have joined the onslaught. And this, in fact, to us, is disturbing because we expected government to intervene. Now, if the government companies are intervening, and in one of the instances, we are told that they are doing that on instructions from government. Therefore, to us, it would appear like this court judgment or this decision is emanating from government corridors. It is the government who might be responsible for this onslaught, and they're hiding behind the employers.
That was Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Union Secretary General Japheth Moyo in Harare with Studio 7 reporter Jonga Kandemiri. Meanwhile, civil servants unions say they'll meet soon the government to resolve the issue of more than 3,000 teachers who did not receive their July salaries because they were not present at their workstations during the government's audit in April, which was meant to weed out ghost workers. The unions, which include the Public Service Association, Zimbabwe Teachers Association, and the Progressive Teachers Union of Zimbabwe, argued that the affected teachers were on approved leave at the time of the audit. Public Service Association President John Tagara tells reporters Thandekile Mhlanga this development has worsened the plight of the affected teachers who are already struggling to make ends meet.
These are people's lives, people with children, people with children who are going to school. In these days in Zimbabwe, there are so many diseases that affect people. Therefore, if people cannot be given their salaries, how can they survive? And most children now, they body transferred to and from school on daily basis. The parents also, they don't taxes to and from work. Therefore, it's so terrible that people can be denied their rights. So as an association, we are planning to meet the government as soon as possible.
Do you foresee any problems which could hinder these teachers from getting their outstanding salaries? Or do you believe this could be more than a technicality on the part of the government?
I think there's no one who's coming out here. Some people are saying they need to be trained. Others are saying that there's no treatment. The government was only in trying to see how many people they have in their favor. Therefore, that should not affect the workers' salaries. So I think it must be technically, we are waiting until we meet them. Yeah, what I believe is that they should just apologize that it's a mistake. But now they're throwing it from one minister to another. Other ministers are saying that things should be very people should be changed. Others are saying that there is no change in the education is going to affect the civil service. So we are not sure until we meet them.
That was a Public Service Association President John Tagara on the line with Studio 7 from Harare. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. We are broadcasting on 909 medium wave and on the 4930-5940 and 15455 shortwave frequencies. Some legal experts say it may take weeks, months, or years for the United States to extradite Minnesota dentist Walter Palmer, who hunted and killed Zimbabwe's famous lion Cecil. Zimbabwe's former Attorney General Sobusa Gulandebele and former Education Minister David Coltart say Palmer's extradition, which is being sought by Harare, will be a test case for an extradition treaty signed by the two nations in 1997. Article 1 of the treaty obligates the two countries to extradite to the other, pursuant to the provisions of the treaty, any person charged with or convicted of an extraditable offence in the requesting state. Another provision of the treaty also stipulates that it is designed to enhance the ability of the United States to prosecute serious offenders like narcotics, traffickers, and terrorists. Coltart, noting that extradition processes can be complicated, says even in the presence of specific treaties on such issues.
In many of these treaties, it's not automatic that a country's national will be extradited. There is a degree of discretion exercised by the country where the national lives and which country has to make the decision whether or not to extradite.
Normally, how long does it take for somebody to be extradited from one country to the other?
It can take weeks, months, years. We've seen the what has happened in other cases elsewhere in the world. You see, for example, the Swiss on occasions have been asked to extradite their nationals, and they've been very reluctant about it, and they drag it out. And of course, the Swiss aren't the only nation subject to this. And in many cases, extradition is denied. You will see accused people who exploit the domestic laws of the countries where they live in to delay the process. They go to court to get orders barring governments from agreeing to the extradition. So it can take a long, long time.
What happens if everything fails?
The Zimbabwe government has a variety of remedies. Obviously, they can prosecute the people within Zimbabwe responsible for the crime, and in this case, the professional hunter and the landowner himself, who appears to have benefited from this transaction. Of course, if the dentist hunter ever decided to come back to Zimbabwe, he could be arrested on arrival in Zimbabwe and prosecuted that way.
That was lawyer and former education minister David Coltart speaking with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube from Bulawayo. Article 4, subsection 1 of the extradition treaty signed by Zimbabwe and the United States stipulates generally that extradition should not be granted if the offence for which extradition is requested is a political offence. Meanwhile, here in the United States, U.S. Senator Bob Menendez, a Democrat, today said he will introduce an act named after Cecil the Lion called the Conserving Ecosystems by Ceasing the Importation of Large Animal Trophies Act to help stem the hunting of Africa's big five animals by rich foreigners. The act seeks to curb the killing of species that are proposed to be listed or endangered under the United States Endangered Species Act of 1973. Meanwhile, the National Parks and Wildlife Management Authority says it's seeking a second American over the illegal killing of another lion as the international outcry over the death of famed Cecil the Lion continues. The authority said in a statement a doctor from Pennsylvania named as Jan Kasmir Seski, identified as a gain, killed the lion in the country in April. The Associated Press news agency identified Seski as a gynecological oncologist who runs the Center for Bloodless Medicine and Surgery at Allegheny General Hospital in Pittsburgh. Seski and Palmer are said to be in hiding. Environment Minister Walter Muzembe says the killing of the lions has led to a sudden cancellation of tourist visits to Zimbabwe. The MDCT Shadow Environment Minister Joel Gabuza, who's also the legislator for Binga, tells Studio 7 that he agrees with Mzembe's fears of a decline in tourism receipts because of the killing of Cecil the Lion.
Yeah, clearly this Cecil Lion has brought Zimbabwe in the image for the wrong reason. Actually, we are actually very famous now in the whole world because of this particular lion. We are now viewed in the eyes of the world as a nation that does not respect the rights of animals. And at the same time, I'm sure it's going to affect a lot our tourism industry. We are in the limelight for the bad reasons, and it's not very good for this country. At the time when we need a lot of goodwill and a lot of good friends, we are actually getting negative images.
Saying that we are going to see a decline in the number of tourists coming into the country because of the killing of Cecil the Lion?
Well, we are yet to see. Maybe let's give it a time and see. But certainly there are high chances that because of the negative image that the country has acquired over the few days, I'm quite sure several countries, especially those that respect the rights of animals, are likely to have they are likely to revenge in a way by not sending tourists. We'll have to do a lot of work to try and convince people that we are indeed friendly to animals and friendly to wildlife and to nature in general. So certainly we are likely to see a decline in the number of tourists.
Joel Gabuza is the Shadow Environment Minister in the MDCT and also the legislator for Binga North.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 Metum Wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com.
You can also text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Coming up, Highlanders finally breaks the jinx in beating Dynamos to the Zimbabwe National Army Charity Shield. But first, a look at regional and international news. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry said he and Gulf Cooperation Council foreign ministers agree that the Iran nuclear deal will contribute to the region's security once it's implemented. United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon condemned the killing of a UN peacekeeper in the Central African Republic who died yesterday after being attacked by gunmen in the country's capital. And the International Olympic Committee president today weighed in on new reports of a decade-long doping scandal, saying, "We do not have any solid foundation for the allegations and all athletes should be presumed innocent until the results of an investigation by the World Anti-Doping Agency, WADA." Back to the late King of the Jungle, Cecil the Lion has in the past week hogged international news headlines as millions expressed outrage about the killing of one of the country's favorite big cats. Now, after his office asked the United States to extradite Minnesota dentist Walter Palmer for trial in the country, some Zimbabweans are now calling on President Robert Mugabe not to divert attention from pressing issues affecting the country over Cecil's killing as he continues to attract tons of coverage the world over. Thomas Chiripasi went into the streets of Harare and filed this report.
Many Zimbabweans have condemned last month's killing of Cecil the Lion by American tourist Walter James Palmer outside the Wange National Park, but they were quick to urge the Harare administration not to divert the people's minds from pressing bread and butter issues. One such person is Clopas Mutau, who says Cecil the Lion was a source of revenue for the country's tourism sector.
The Cecil Lion issue is a major challenge to whoever comes in here as a tourist. In tourism sector, we've seen an area that it has been an image which has been tarnished.
However, Mutau said the name Cecil reminds him of Cecil John Rhodes, who led the colonization of Rhodesia, now Zimbabwe.
Now it becomes very confusing that we cannot have that name labeled under an animal.
Leader of the MDCT Youth Assembly, Happy Moshidziva, tells Studio 7 that Zimbabwean authorities should not waste time seeking Palmer's extradition, but should focus more on promoting human rights in the country, especially with activists like Itai Dzamara still being unaccounted for. Chidziva's sentiments were echoed by another Harare resident, Kudzai Munemo.
I don't think it's really necessary for us to boggle our minds over such a petty little issue of a lion that's died. On a daily basis, people are losing their jobs. What has the government done about it? Nothing. They're actually helping in firing more people.
Trevor Ngube, chairman of Alpha Media Holdings, publishers of the Newsday and independent newspapers, declined an interview with CNN, saying he could not discuss the issue of the dead lion ahead of key economic and political issues that required urgent attention. Environment Minister Opam Chinguri Kashiri announced last week that Harare was in the process of seeking Palmer's extradition from the United States, but investigations carried out by Studio 7 today indicated that the state's house is not in order as authorities kept referring questions from one ministry to the other. Prosecutor General Johannes Tomana referred questions to the Home Affairs Ministry, saying his office had not yet received any communication regarding Palmer's extradition.
We actually have a royal no prayer after the formal request has been made from the investigation side.
Deputy Home Affairs Minister Ziyambi Ziyambi referred Studio 7 to the Justice Ministry. Justice Ministry officials could not comment, referring all questions to Justice Minister Emmerson Mnangagwa, who also doubles as the Vice President. Police spokesperson Senior Assistant Commissioner Cherith Charamba said she could not say whether or not the police had communicated with the relevant ministries over Palmer's extradition, because the court is now seized with the matter of the killing of Sisu the lion. Meanwhile, the Director General of the Department of Parks and Wildlife, Edson Chidzia, issued a statement announcing the immediate suspension of the hunting of lions, leopards, and elephants outside the Wange National Park. Chidzia also announced that boar hunting had been suspended with immediate effect, and no such hunting will be conducted unless it has been confirmed and authorized in writing by the Director General of his department. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
U.S. President Barack Obama today met with 500 fellows from the Mandela Washington Fellowship for Young African Leaders at a summit in Washington at the end of their six-week experience in the United States. Mr. Obama said next year he'll increase the number of fellows from 500 to 1,000. 30 Zimbabweans are part of this year's program. Studio 7 reporter Tatenda Gumbo has more details.
The young leaders from 17 African countries broke into a happy birthday song as President Obama, who celebrates his birthday tomorrow, arrived for the summit. Mandela Washington Fellow Grace Jerry from Nigeria was given the honors to introduce the president. Jerry, who lives with a disability following an accident some 13 years ago, praised Mr. Obama for the YALI program, saying it empowered and inspired young African leaders. Obama said the Mandela Washington Fellowship program is making an impact, receiving over 30,000 applications. He said next year the program would be expanded to over 1,000 fellows to ensure more young Africans gain leadership training in America.
And last year I welcomed our first class of Mandela Fellows. This year the response was overwhelming again, nearly 30,000 applied. And today I'm honored to welcome you, the second Mandela Washington Fellows class. We're on track to double the Mandela Washington Fellowship program to 1,000 fellows by next year. And I know you've been busy. Over the past few weeks at schools and businesses all across America, you've been taking courses, developing the skills you'll need to make your ideas a reality, so that you're able to continue the great work that you're already doing, but take it to the next level.
Mr. Obama also said the YALI program would also be expanded next year to include 80 young Americans who will be sent to Africa to learn about the continent, as their African colleagues will be coming to the United States for a similar experience. In an effort to promote young entrepreneurs in Africa, Mr. Obama said the U.S. has secured $1 billion to support entrepreneurial projects and efforts throughout Africa, with a YALI office being opened today in Kenya. Other offices will be opened in South Africa and Senegal.
Last year, I said we would do even more to support young entrepreneurs with grants to help you start a business or nonprofit, and with new training for thousands of aspiring entrepreneurs in small towns and rural areas. So at the recent Global Entrepreneurship Summit in Nairobi, I announced that we've secured more than $1 billion in new commitments from banks and philanthropists to support emerging entrepreneurs around the world, including in Africa, with half the money going to support women and young people.
Mr. Obama took questions from the young leaders and addressed various issues, including climate change, the quest by Africa for a seat on the United Nations Security Council, the protection of albinos in Africa, entrepreneurship, and the growing terrorist concern of Boko Haram on the continent. One of the fellows from Zimbabwe, Promise Muleya, says he has learned a lot in the past 6 weeks and will go back home a different person.
The main thing I take home is the experience, the American experience for the past 7 weeks. I've been here. I've experienced that the American people, they love their country, they love their nation, they love their history. They take pride in what they do. So this is something I want to share with my colleagues, with my fellow countrymen back home, to say, we as Zimbabweans, first and foremost, we ought to love our nation, ought to love our history. Let's be hardworking, let's take our nation forward.
The Mandela Washington Fellowship is the flagship program of YALI, President Obama's signature initiative launched in 2010 to deepen the United States' engagement with the youth in Africa. YALI supports young Africans as they work to spur growth and prosperity, strengthen democratic governance, and enhance peace and security across the continent. Reporting in Washington, D.C., this is Tatenda Gumbo.
The International Conference on AIDS and STIs in Africa, ICASA, Head of Secretariat, who's also the Operations Director for the National AIDS Council, Raymond Yekeye, says preparations for the 2015 conference to be held in Harare from 29 November to December 4th are progressing well. Yekeye says 3,000 delegates have already registered for the event, which is expected to host over 10,000 delegates from 150 countries. ICASA delegates will discuss, among other issues, efforts and gains made so far towards eliminating TB, cancer, as well as eliminating sexually transmitted infections. Yekeye speaks with Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye on the progress Zimbabwe has made so far towards hosting the ICASA 2015 conference.
The preparations for the ICASA 2015 are progressing well. The venue has been secured. We are working with the hotel to ensure that the venue is up to standard, also making sure that we have the right spaces that are required to host the conference. These include the exhibition area and the community village, where a number of community activities will also be taking place. We also have been monitoring the registration. The registration has increased 3 times since the venue was announced in Zimbabwe. And we have just over 3,000 people we have already registered to attend the ICASA 2015 in Zimbabwe. And although quite a sizable number has also paid their registration fee. We have also been monitoring the abstract submission to about 1,531 in July 2015. We've noted that that's the number. We are now working with the managers of the website to open the site again and allow more missions of abstract. I know that people have had a few challenges in terms of uploading their abstracts. Everyone wanted to upload on the 31st of July, and therefore it created a bit of congestion on the website. But we are working on rectifying that.
What are abstracts for those that would like to actually send in their abstracts? Where can they do that? Are you going to reopen the website?
Well, abstracts are basically a summary of the work that you have been doing or new knowledge that you have acquired in either research or implementing a particular program and that you feel should be shared with the rest of the world. What you submit is a summary of that particular work or that study that you did from the research that you have done onto the website. So what you submit is a summary of that. And what we are actually encouraging is that now the public had not submitted their abstract because they felt that it would be difficult for them to then travel to Tunisia to make presentation from those their abstracts. But now, because the conference is at our doorstep, we are encouraging Zimbabwe to submit as many abstracts as possible so that we can showcase at a minimum cost the kind of work that we are doing in Zimbabwe in terms of research, in terms of program implementation, in terms of science.
That was ICASA Head of Secretariat Raymond Yekeye. Unfortunately, time is not on our side. We'll bring you the Highlanders breaking the Dynamo's jinx story tomorrow. This is Chris Gande. Good night, Zimbabwe.